You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
Let's dig in here today to what is our final message inside of the series that has lasted us about 6 weeks now, called The God I Never Knew. How many know we have an important need in our lives to know the person of the Holy Spirit? How many believe, and stand with us in what we call the Trinity? Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the... It's important that we understand God, the Holy Spirit. And we don't believe many places in community of faith give opportunity and teaching and instruction and focus enough to know the person of the Holy Spirit. How many know He's important? If Jesus Himself said, in order for Him to come, I must go. And so He wills for us to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we've dug into this series in the last 6 weeks, just teaching you about the person of the Holy Spirit, what a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit looks like. What is this stuff that we hear in the Bible called the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And what are these gifts of the Spirit? And how does that apply? And we've been digging into that inside of this series, along with our Wednesday nights and our tracks there with Supergroup. It's been a fantastic experience that I pray has birthed in you a desire to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. And to end this series here today, I could think of no better subject title to a talk than this right here: The Spirit-Led Life. As we know the Holy Spirit, it's very important that we understand that we allow Him to lead our lives, for Him to have His hands on the driver's steering wheel of our lives, taking our lives in the direction that He wants it to go. And so we're going to talk about this here today and even give some examples of what this means here in relation to my life and what it means in this church as a whole. But what do I mean when I say the Spirit-led life? Let me just give you the definition breakdown of what I'm talking about. What does it mean to be Spirit-led? What I mean by that is, I mean, it is important for us to follow and live in and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. How many know He's here to guide us? He's here to lead us. He's here to take us to beautiful places in our lives. And it's not just important that we do that indeed. It's okay. I promise the message is almost over. Amen. But not just do that indeed, but sinking our mind, sinking our will, sinking our emotions to His. Because how many know He has a mind? Philippians 2:4, let this mind that be in Christ, let the mind of God sink with your mind, be in you. He has a will. In other words, a desire, right? Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will, meaning your desire, be done in my life as it is in yours. And He has emotions that we need to take into our lives as well, right? Those emotions being what we call the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, where the Bible says against those things there is no law. These are the emotions of God. We need to, as we follow in His guidance, have His mindset, have His desires, have His emotions leading the way that allows us to walk the path He created for us. That's what it means to be Spirit-led. I know it's a lot inside of that statement. It's very important that we understand, though, that He calls us to do this. He calls us to be Spirit-led. Other scriptures that talk about this are Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, those who do this, He says, are children of God. Galatians 5:25, just after He gets done talking about the fruit of the Spirit, He says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Meaning, the steps we take in this world are to be steps that the Holy Spirit has for us to take. Acts chapter 16, in verses 6 through 7, is a unique take on the importance of being Spirit-led. When it talks about Paul and his team, it says, passing through the Phrygian and Galatian region. I love this scripture so much. It says, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit. You want to talk about being led by the Spirit? Sometimes he will forbid you to do things. And here's what he was forbidding them to do. Think about this. To speak the word, to speak the gospel, to preach the gospel in Asia. The Holy Spirit forbid them to do that. We're going to talk about what that means here in just a minute. And after they came to Mysia, it says they were trying to go into Bithynia. And it says, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them to go there. This is a very interesting scripture. As again I say, it stresses and shows the importance of being led by the Holy Spirit. The reason I love this scripture so much is it shows just how involved the Holy Spirit is and desires to be in what we do. How involved the Holy Spirit desires to be in every single step that we take. Now, this particular scripture is taking place in what we would call Paul's second missionary journey. Allow me, if you would, to show you a map, because I like to nerd out on stuff like this, and I know you guys do too. This is a map, and I apologize for those of you in the back or with poor eyesight like me that wouldn't be able to necessarily see this at the level that you may want to, but this is a map of Paul's second missionary journey. Down here is Israel, right here is Jerusalem at the very bottom right of the TV, and up here you see Italy, and you get into the Rome and all that area, but here's Paul. You see this red line. This is kind of documenting and traveling where he's going during this time period in his second missionary journey. That kicks off in Antioch, then they head up through Sicilia and go into Tarsus, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch over here. And it says this, look at this in verse 6. What does it say? It says they pass through the region or through the Phrygian and Galatian region. Here's the Phrygian region and here's the Galatian region. So while they're passing through here, check this out. What does it say? They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word into Asia, which at that time in that region was right here. That's why you don't see any stops. They are heading through here, and while they're going here, it says the leading of the Holy Spirit is saying, keep your mouth shut. I mean, these guys are preaching the gospel everywhere they go, seeing miracles, seeing signs, seeing wonders, seeing results, seeing salvations at insane numbers, and for some reason, the Holy Spirit is saying, don't say anything here. Like, how interesting would that be to do that? It wouldn't even make any sense to, in your natural mind, not speak the gospel to these people. But it's very important we understand how important it is that these guys were Spirit-led in this moment. And it says they're doing that. And it says, and after they came to Mysia, which is right here, after they come to Mysia, it says this, or go back to the next one. There we go. After they came to Mysia, it says they were trying to go into Bithynia. And Bithynia is right up here. So while they're coming in here, their plans were, it says they were trying to go north. And if you kind of study what they were trying to do and what they were doing in all these cities, these guys are planting churches. These guys are having revival experiences, and churches are being built and established off of this. So this is no doubt a region that was in their set of plans to do so. But something happens while they're planning to go to Bithynia. Don't go there. Don't go north. And we don't know why the Holy Spirit said that. Why the Holy Spirit directed them away from going north, and it says he instead directed them to keep going west out to Troas. So in response to that direction, verse 8 says this, so they passed by Mysia, which is right over here, they passed by it, and it says this, and went down to Troas, which is right here on the border of the Aegean Sea. Look at this. And while they're here, while they're in Troas, they haven't experienced any ministry in a while now. While they're in Troas, it says this, during the night, Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia, which is over here, across the Aegean Sea. Paul has this vision of a man in Macedonia. It says, standing and begging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And the Bible says that after they have this vision of this man from Macedonia begging them, come over, come across the Aegean Sea and come and help us. It says after Paul sees this vision during the night, he says they got ready to leave at once for Macedonia, concluding that God didn't want them to go north, that God instead wanted them to keep going west into Macedonia to preach the gospel over there in Macedonia. And the results of this change in direction, so they cross the Aegean Sea, they get to Neapolis, and immediately they end up in Philippi. In Philippi, revival breaks out. I don't know if that sounds familiar to you. Philippi, that's where the Philippian church is. The book of Philippians in the New Testament of your Bible is a letter written to the church that started from this moment right here. The first convert being a woman named Lydia. And I love that right there. I preached her story here at Journey Church in a series we did called Herstory. Instead of history, we started talking about some of the women in the Bible that just made incredible impact for the kingdom of God. And I love it that Lydia, who really is the first convert that you see in what they called the European Empire, at the time, the first Christian convert in that region is Lydia. She's a woman inside of a misogynistic culture where it was all male dominated. God saved this woman and used her story and her experience to bring the gospel and spread the gospel to churches all around the area, including her influential role in the Philippian church. It's amazing what God has done through Lydia. And they also experience incredible. I'm telling you, I can't keep going on, but it's incredible what happened. The revival that happened that even led over to Thessalonica, which is where you see the book of Thessalonians written to. And it's an amazing thing to see all the converts and the impact that was spread in that region when they continue to go west. I encourage you to read Acts chapter 16 and Acts chapter 17 and what it really details out Paul's second missionary journey. It's a lot of amazing stuff. On this journey, I mean, he meets Timothy. Paul meets Timothy in this journey. It's an amazing experience. I think that kicks off right at the beginning of chapter 16. It's a wild, wild ride. But think about this. This Holy Spirit left turn here. Think about that. As these guys set out from here to just take the gospel to the world that the Holy Spirit baptized them and empowered them to reach, while they were doing that, they still had the responsibility to be led by God's Spirit in every single step they took. It wasn't just something that they could do and just allowing their heart to lead them wherever they wanted to go. They had to lean on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Where do you want us to go? When do you want us to go? And if we're going in a direction we're not supposed to go, tell us and we'll go where you want us to go. Man, think about that for a second. They had to do that while they were doing this. These lines are essentially serving to be his leading for their lives. Now, why? I don't know why God said, don't go up here. I don't know why. Well, I mean, I guess my answer would be this. Father knows best. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, who knows what was waiting for him up there in Bithynia? Those guys will never know. We'll never know. Maybe it was Proverbs 14:12. Right? There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Like, maybe if they would have went that way, They could have all been killed. Maybe the Spirit of God was saving them. Maybe his all-knowing nature knew that if they continued up there would be consequences that would have halted the progress of the gospel from spreading throughout the world like he willed it to. We don't know. But in looking at this scripture, we see Journey Church, the importance, and we, Journey Church, must see the importance of being Spirit-led believers. You must be a Spirit-led believer in all you do, allowing your life to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in the steps that you take in this life. Because even though the steps you're taking in your life right now may seem right to you, the Spirit of God may be trying to nudge you in a direction different than the one you're traveling on. Come on, somebody. I've discovered in my life that sometimes the Holy Spirit points me down a path that wasn't in my original set of plans. And it doesn't make sense sometimes when he's pointing this way and I'm like, but we were going that way. I even prayed about that way and felt like it was okay. Why all of a sudden do I feel like I'm supposed to? It's important that even though I may not understand why, that I trust his leading. And as somebody who's been doing that, I've also discovered that in the end, his leading will always lead to my benefit. In the end, his leading will always lead to the benefit also. And most importantly, to that of his kingdom. You ever experienced those left turns those keep going west instead of north moments of the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you ever experienced His direction leading you in a different direction? Man, Missy and I experienced that when we were youth pastors in Arizona. We knew that in 2006 that God was calling Missy and I to leave that church that we were youth pastors at and begin to go pursue opportunities to be pastors. We knew that God was calling us to be lead pastors. We didn't know where, we didn't know when, we didn't know how. We just knew that we were called to do that. And before we did that, we believed that we would be going through a season of preparation. We would go and be on staff at another opportunity that would prepare us to be lead pastors. And we always thought that was an opportunity in Phoenix, Arizona. Again, we were youth pastors of a good youth group, and we were part of a denomination at the time that reached out to us and said, you've got great opportunity in youth ministry, and we would love our success in youth ministry. We want you to be the district youth directors of our state. And so we started to make kind of prearranged agreements. We were going to move down to Phoenix that next year, that following year, and become the district youth directors of a state. And we thought, that's a great opportunity for us because we want to learn how to pastor. Well, the focus of this position is to work alongside the pastors of churches in the state. A part of that denomination, there's over 500 churches all across the state. I would have the opportunity to work with all those pastors and their Christian education programs and in their youth ministry and their children's ministry programs and just be a blessing to them. What an educational experience that would be on what it takes to make a church successful and close to the heartbeat of God. I thought that would be great. And so that was our plans until the Holy Spirit pointed us in a different direction. I mean, we were getting ready to move down. It was beautiful. It was around February. February in Phoenix. Come on, somebody. It's 85 degrees. But the Holy Spirit opened up another door and said, I don't want you to go there. I want you to go here. To Columbus, Ohio in the middle of February, where hell freezes over. Demons ice skate through the streets. I mean, it's a rough area. You got Lake Erie weather. It's cold. The sun goes away in Columbus every September, and we say, see you in May. I mean, it's just horrible. But we were just in a place where we were just like, wow. Why are you leading us in this direction? And many of you know my story. Let me just tell you, long story short, we learned that the Holy Spirit used that season in Ohio to prepare in Missy and I the vision for Journey Church. That if we would have stayed in Phoenix, we would have probably stayed in our denomination. We would have ended up going other places. But God moved us to a place where He showed us where it is that He's originally called us to be and to not just take a church over, but to plant a church. And make it a church not about crowds, but make it a church about the people that make up those crowds. To make Journey Church a place that doesn't focus on how many we can get in a room, but instead how much love we can show to the people that walk in the room. To make this church a place where it's not about your past, it's about your future. Come on, somebody, how many know what I'm talking about? We're not there concerned with your past. We're so concerned with your future. That's why we exist, to see the dream for the future, to come out of your life and be experienced through your life. And the only way to get that is by getting you to Jesus. And man, that's what we're all about. And that's where that vision was born inside of our hearts in Ohio. What am I trying to say? I go on and on and on about how instrumental that season was. But here's my point. Let Him lead. Don't do things your way, because your way won't connect to His way. Let Him lead. The reason I say don't do things your way is God didn't create you to do things your way. After sin came in and corrupted mankind, we can't lean on ourselves anymore. We can't trust our own leading. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is my favorite verse that says, for I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He says, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let me share with you the least favorite part of my favorite verse. I no longer live. I hate that part. Because that means that I can't do what I want to do all the time. Really, none of the time. I'm here to live leaning on His leading for my life. And how many know that's hard to do inside of an American culture where it's all about what we want? I mean, we're talking walking in the face of hurricane winds in that context of our culture. Shoot. Corinthians 6 says that you're not your own anymore. You don't even belong to you. The Bible says in Corinthians 6 that you are not your own. He says, do you not know that your body is a holy, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? He says, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Think about that. You are not your own. Let him lead. I've realized and resolved that Jesse does not belong to Jesse, that Jesse belongs to Jesus. Heck, I've even resolved that Journey Church is not my church. When I started, I kind of thought it was. But I've learned over the course of pastoring this church that this is his church, and he wants to lead it. Somebody say, well, heck, aren't you the pastor? Yeah, I'm the pastor, but all that means is I'm the one that's going to be held responsible to him on Judgment Day on whether or not Journey Church did what it was supposed to do. That's not that cool, is it? I'm going to get judged, not you. I will be on what this church does. There's a lot of pressure on my shoulders with that one. Come on, who wants to stand with me on Judgment Day? Anybody? Nobody, right? Right? When y'all are going to leave me hanging in heaven, aren't you? And they're like, Journey Church? Y'all going to be like, all right, see you later. He's over here. He's over here, hiding over here behind this building. Right? Think about that. I'm going to stand before God, and he's going to go, did you do what I told you to do? I'll be judged and rewarded on what I do with his leading and what I do with his word. But I've learned this, Journey Church. When I listen to his leading, it may not make sense in the moment. And I'll give you an example of what that means here in just a second. But I've learned that even though it doesn't make sense in the moment, he without fail proves himself faithful in his leading. Time and time again, Journey Church has always ended up at places and opportunities that are bigger and better than we could have ever imagined or I could have ever planned on my own. In more ways than I can count, there are my plans and then there are God's plans. And my plans never work out for this church, and his plans always do. Man, I never thought it'd take me 6 years to see a Dream Center up and running. I never thought half the people in the Dream Center would be the ones running the Dream Center. I now see that I had to wait on his leading. I was trying to jump the gun early on things. And I had to wait for the right seasons and the right doors to open up that led us to, do you got that picture? One of the most beautiful moments I've ever experienced in the history of this church, seeing these four celebrated at the level that they were at our Night of Dreams. Nathan, you're always wearing that hat, brother, and don't stop. I love it, brother. Amen. Seeing them experience what they got to experience, I'm telling you what, it's awesome to see that. And get ready, because it ain't just done with these four. God's given more as we get ready to open a new session in January where more will receive freedom in their lives too. Let him lead and trust him with the results of that leading.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.